thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary, that we might be redeemed from all of our sins and have eternal life. Oh, how wonderful it is. And we pray this morning, our Father, that you'll bless the service and everything that we do and say would be to your praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for each one who is here this morning, and pray for those who cannot be. We think of Brother Steve. We pray for him that he'll soon have a recovery from his sickness. And we pray for any others who may be out. We ask you to undertake for them today, and may your will be done. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 21. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive you not, yet neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. As we look at this passage, we pray that it might be helpful to us. As we realize that you have all power in heaven and in earth, you can do anything, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you for that. Whatever it might be, whether it be natural food or whether it be spiritual food. And we pray that your word would minister to our hearts today. Help us to know who you are and who we are in your sight. To know that you love us and care for us, that you're with us to help us in every situation, and that you only want what is best. May we love you and may we serve you in the way that we should. Thank you so much, Lord, for all of your grace and mercy to us. We pray for our missionaries today, Lord. We thank you for this letter that we read today. And pray your blessings upon the Kellers as they serve you. We think of their daughter going away to Bible college. We pray that you'll just guide and direct in her life. Thank you for her desire to serve you. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the homeschooling. We pray that it may go well. We know it's hard to keep up with all of that as well as your duties. And we just pray that you'll meet their needs. We thank you for those who've been saved during this summertime when they were evangelizing, for those who were baptized, being obedient to you, and following the Lord Jesus in baptism. We just thank you for each and every one. And we pray your blessings upon them. We think of all of our other missionaries that we help support. We know today's our missionary offering. And we pray that we might continue to support each one in the very best way, and pray for them day by day as they serve you in the field that you have given to them. And Lord, we pray, help us to be able to send the light to those who are in darkness, wherever they may be. We do thank you, our Father, for Christians who were willing to gather together in prayer and pray for our nation. And we pray that each one of us would continue to pray for these coming days and all that is before us, whatever it may be. We just pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May that be so. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace and love to us, and ask you to guide and help us in everything that we do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples. They accompanied him wherever he went. Saw everything he did. They were constantly together. They listened to all of his wonderful teachings. Saw all the miracles that he performed. Yet we find that he had to chide them again and again for their lack of understanding and slowness to believe. Not long ago, we were in Mark chapter 6, where we saw the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples were there. They took part in what was done in this great miracle. And yet we find once again that they didn't seem to quite grasp all that it signified. Here we have the story in Mark chapter 8. I'd like for us to hold your place there and turn back to Matthew chapter 15. We have a parallel passage here, and it's a little different. Has a few more things to add in about the story in Matthew 15, beginning at verse 29. Matthew 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have you? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coast of Magdala. All right, so here we find gathering together. Jesus is healing and doing his ministry, teaching. And these people had been there for 3 days without eating. Can you imagine? 3 days without eating? We can't hardly go 3 hours without eating, can we? You know how it is. Well, anyway, we find that these people were so enraptured by what Jesus was saying that they sat there and listened to him speak and enjoyed his teaching so much that they were willing to hang on. So it's a very great crowd of people. As it says here in Matthew, that there were 4,000 men and plus women and children, right? And we notice Matthew mentions that both times. When the feeding of the 5,000, he mentions that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. And now it's 4,000 men plus women and children. So it was a great crowd of people that Jesus was caring for here, teaching them, and then performing this miracle with all of these people. They had been listening to Jesus, teaching and enjoying his message. And now Jesus expresses his concern for them. And notice he says in Mark 8, verse 2, I have compassion on the multitude. They've been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. You see? And stop and think for a minute. This is very similar to what had happened before, right? They had 5,000 people there or more. And Jesus had taken care of the situation. He had fed them. And so now, Jesus approaches his disciples and tells them, I want to do something to help these people. They have been so good to listen, you know, and I have compassion on them. I care for them. Of course, this is speaking about the heart of Jesus, and he was always concerned about other people. And here, he says, I want to give them something to eat. He said, if I send them away fasting, they'll faint on the way because some of them came from a long distance. And I certainly don't want that to happen. And so he asked his disciples, what should we do? And notice what they say in verse 4. His disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Doesn't that sound strange to you? Already Jesus had supplied enough for even a bigger multitude. And now, have they forgotten? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? They respond with a question. You know, I don't know. Where would we get it? You know, we don't have food. There's no store nearby or anything like that where we can get a hold of all this bread and food. So they were kind of perplexed as to what to do. They're looking at the circumstances, and they don't see the answer. You see? Do we do that? You know, when we have a problem or something, shows up and we don't know what to do about it, we wonder, what is our approach to the situation? Who has the answer? Well, we find here, ultimately, Jesus had the answer. But they were wondering, well, I don't know. where could we possibly find enough food for this? You know? And I think we do the same thing. We don't always understand how God is going to work. And we try various things to solve the problems when we could go directly to the Master and allow Him to satisfy the need. Now, I know sometimes it may get more complicated than that, but many times that's all we need, isn't it? So we see here the mighty miracle that Jesus is going to perform. He says, how many loaves do you have? So they looked around and they found, we got 7 loaves of bread. Okay, now these were, just like before, those little small loaves weren't anything near what would be necessary to feed such a crowd as this. They didn't have near enough. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves. He gave thanks and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and they did all set before them. So they got through the first row, and then they ran out. There wasn't anything left for the rest of the crowd. What do you think about that? Everybody's looking at me very strangely. No, that's not what it says, is it? There was a plenty for everyone. Because God doesn't do things halfway. You know? He supplied the need for everyone. It multiplied. They had a few small fishes, it says. He blessed them. He passed those out. And they all ate. And they were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Now, this was a different kind of basket. First time, with the 5,000, there were 12 small baskets, enough for each individual. This time, it's a large basket. You know, you remember the story about Paul when they were going to kill him? He was in Damascus, and they had to put him in a basket and put him over the wall to get away from Damascus so he'd be safe. Well, that's the kind of basket they're talking about here. That's a basket big enough for a person to get into. So it's a large basket. So he has filled up 7 of these large baskets with the food that was left over. And they finished their meal and he sent them away. So here we see this great miracle that Jesus did and fulfilled what these people needed. He's able to meet our needs, whatever they are, right? He can supply the need of anyone, whoever it might be. So then we find that they went on their way, and Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, and they went to another area, to Dalmanutha, it says here. And again, we find him coming in contact with some of the religious leaders. The Pharisees came forth, and they began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. These people are really interested, you notice? But then it says what? Tempting him. Their whole intention was to embarrass him, to have him do something that would not be right, to say something that would put him in a bad light with the people. They were always doing that, weren't they? Whenever Jesus came in contact with these Pharisees, these were the people who claimed to believe the Word of God. These were the people that were the most religious. Paul was a Pharisee before he was converted. And they followed the law rigidly. And they had all these rules and regulations that they followed. They were supposed to be the cream of the crop, the very best, right? The Pharisees. And yet, over and over again, we find them coming into conflict with the Lord Jesus. Why is that? I think they were afraid that he was going to take away their power. He was going to rock the boat, so to speak. You know, Jesus didn't always do things the way everyone else did them, or how everyone else wanted him to do them. And so we find here that they are tempting him. So they come to him asking him for a sign. Now, doesn't that seem a bit strange? What had Jesus been doing? He'd been going around the country, healing people, opening the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, raising people from the dead. And these people ask him for a sign. What on earth did they want him to do? And he gets, it seems like he gets frustrated, you know. It says here, why does this generation seek after a sign? What do you want me to do? He says, how much more can I do to convince you of who I am? He says, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. Now, another place he did say, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the belly of the whale, I got it right, in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, right? He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. It doesn't speak of that here, but it does say that in other places. And, of course, that was speaking of his death and resurrection. And coming forth from the grave, he says, that's the sign that you'll get when I rise again from the dead. So we find these Pharisees are hypocritical in their approach to Jesus. They don't really want to know what he has to say. They just want to trick him and to tempt him to do something wrong. So Jesus is exasperated with them, and he refuses to give them any other sign. He sighed deeply. He just didn't know what else to do. He leaves them in their unbelief. You know, it's a shame that people refuse to believe, even when it's obvious, right? I mean, it's like people saying, you know, well, where did everything come from, you know? All of creation, where did it come from? Well, it tells us right in the beginning of the Bible, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all evident. We're here, right? And yet, rather than believe that, they make up some other story that says we started out with a piece of slime or something, and we came from that, right? And you can believe that if you wish, but I don't think that's what happened. At any rate, we find here that Jesus left them. He left them in their unbelief. And entering into the ship, he went to the other side. Now, this is the same area he's going to now, that where the maniac was, you remember, the maniac of Gadara, the man that he had set free from the... Whoa, sorry about that. Am I awake now? Okay. Anyway, it's the same area. And they had sent Jesus away, you remember? You remember the story about the pigs? Okay, all these pigs went and drowned because Jesus sent them into the water. The demons had took them away. And the people were so upset, they told Jesus, oh, why don't you just leave, you know? Well, now he comes back. And this time we find that they're welcoming him. Well, why is that? We'll find out. Looking on down here, he comes to this area. And on the way over there, the disciples, it says, had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they any in the ship except for one loaf of bread between all these people. And they figured, well, that's not going to be enough. Why would they think it would not be enough when Jesus had just fed this great multitude? You know, it's a lot of inconsistencies, it seems like, isn't it? And we find that the disciples have a hard time learning the lessons that they need. So they had forgotten to take bread with them. And just like many times, I think we forget something important. You know, when you go on a trip, you know, you get down the road a few miles and you say, oh my goodness, I don't have such and such, right? That ever happened to you? Ah, of course it has. And this is where it was with the disciples. They just simply forgot to take enough food with them. And so this is on their mind when Jesus says something to them. He's thinking about the Pharisees, you see, and these other people that have confronted him. And he says, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Okay? And they think right away, well, he's upset because we didn't bring enough bread. You see the connection there? And yet he's talking about something completely different. They said it's because we didn't bring the bread. And Jesus then has to give them a lesson. He goes through all these questions here. He says, why are you thinking it's because you don't have any bread? Don't you remember what we've done before in taking care of the needs of people? Have you your heart so hardened? You know, you're not thinking. Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember? They were forgetful, weren't they? They couldn't remember what Jesus had done. And so here he gives them these instructions, seeking to make them understand. Why don't you understand, he says. Why is your heart hardened? You remember the five loaves that we had when we fed the 5,000 plus, right? All those people. How many loaves did you take up? He says 12. 12 loaves of bread left over. All these, 12 loaves of bread, and then 12 baskets full remaining. Right. And the seven, he says, again, among the 4,000, how many baskets did you take up? He said seven. And these were, as I said, the large baskets, right? And so he says, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? Look back with me to Matthew 16 and verse 12. Matthew 16 and verse 12. It says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then, of course, over in Mark, it says Herodians. Now, the Pharisees, as we know, were those that kept the law very strictly. They had all the rules and regulations, and you were, you know, required to obey absolutely everything, or you couldn't follow them. And the Herodians, the ones that followed King Herod, right? These were the political people that had different teachings that were not in keeping with what God would have them to do. So he said, beware. And that's a warning that we should have, isn't it? Don't get involved in something that is not true, it's not faithful, whether it be religious or whether it be political or whatever it might be. Don't let it get you in the wrong way. He says, don't you understand? Beware of the teachings, the doctrines that are not biblical, that are not in keeping with God's word. So we have to be very careful about that. And that's what he's saying here to these disciples. Beware. So twice Jesus fed these great multitudes of people with a very small amount of food. Everyone was satisfied. There was plenty left over. And yet the disciples worried about where their next meal was coming from. As we face various needs in our lives, do we fret and worry about what we're going to do? Has not God seen us through many situations, met our needs again and again? Turn with me again back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. In verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Jesus is speaking here. The Sermon on the Mount, I believe it is. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Now here it means the heathen people, those that didn't know God. He said, this is what they're looking at. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So Jesus says, live one day at a time, right? Don't worry about what's happening tomorrow or the next day or whatever. Now we can make plans, yes, and we should. But at the same time, it will be what it will be, right? Que sera, sera. And so God knows, and he's in control. We can trust him. And as disciples of Christ, we need to place our faith and our trust in him completely and allow him to meet our needs, to be with us. He is more than able. He demonstrated it over and over again. We just simply need to believe what he says and to follow the way that he would lead us. So may God help us to put our faith and confidence in him and know that we have nothing to fear. We can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. And I hope and pray that each one of us will be more assured of your goodness, your grace, your love, that we would know that you are with us to help us. May we put our faith and trust in you completely and not fear, not fret. Help us, Lord, to look to you and find that strength that we need for our life, moment by moment and day by day. May Christ be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Amen.